This episode of Dear Hank and John is brought to you by Blue Land. Did you know that about 5 billion, billion? That's I checked that because that's a lot. Plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away every year. And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy. We're shipping around all this water using fuel when we don't have to. Every year, Americans throw away 25% more trash from Thanksgiving to New Year. This year, maybe turn the New Year's resolution into action that makes a difference by switching to Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. It's a simple idea. They have refillable cleaning products. They have a nice design. I have them in my home. It looks nice on your counter. You fill the reusable bottles with water, drop in the Blue Land tablets, wait for them to dissolve, and you never have to grab bulky, heavy cleaning supplies on your grocery run ever again. And refills, because they're small and you don't have to ship a bunch of water across the country, starts at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, everybody, you know what I mean. All Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients that you can feel good about. Blue Land is trusted in over a million homes, including, yeah, mine. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dearhank. You won't want to miss it. blueland.com/dearhank for 15% off. Again, blueland.com/dearhank to get 15% off. Welcome to Dear Hank and John.
Or as I prefer to think of it, Dear John and Hank.
It's a podcast where two brothers answer your questions, give you dubious advice, and bring you all the week's news from both Mars and AFC Wimbledon. John, You know, when we were kids, the parents would sometimes, when one kid had chicken pox, they'd bring a lot of other kids over so that everybody would get chicken pox. This is a real thing that happened.
Yeah, pox parties.
Like real pox parties. Did you know, but obviously, so the kids can have pox parties, but adults, they got to go to the shingles bar.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they got to do shingle digs. Shindiggles.
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 No, they go to the shingles bar. I have
shingles. Hank has shingles, and goodness gracious, I know that Hank has shingles, and I do feel really bad for you, Hank. I know that it's extremely painful.
Yes.
What?
I feel like
me.
You're going to say a butt. Like
I am going to say a butt. Okay. I am the sick brother. Okay.
Oh, God. I've been so sick lately.
I am the sickly one.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's cool of you to try to move into my territory.
It's been my whole thing, though. That's what I've always been doing. Like, you get into the Mr. T experience, I get into the Mr. T experience. You get into online video, I get into online video. Like, you love Zay Frank, I love Zay Frank. This is how it is. I'm a younger brother. You write novels, I write novels. You get sick a bunch and are a hypochondriac. I get sick a bunch, and now, John, there's a lump on my arm, and I asked the doctor about it, and he was like, that's a lump.
Oh, no.
And I was like, but, like, how bad is it?
Oh, man. Now I'm worried. Now you got me worried.
It's okay.
Hank, I don't want to hit you while you're down, but before we get to questions from our listeners, I think it's important to discuss an issue.
Uh-oh. Which one? I have so many.
We have declared that this podcast will be renamed Dear John and Hank if no human steps foot on Mars by the end of 2027.
Can we do the moon instead? Can we just change it?
No. And recently somebody wrote in to say, now we will know for sure that a human is not going to step on Mars.
Irrelevant. I'm just going to stop you right there. Irrelevant. That's not the bet. The bet is not whether it's when that year arrives.
So your argument is that it's not until December 31st, 2027 that we rename the podcast to Dear John and Hank. My argument is that, in fact, whenever that launch window closes in 2026.
No, because you don't know. You don't know.
I do know.
History is full of surprises.
One of the benefits of having done this podcast with you for 10 years is that I actually do know how long it takes to get to Mars.
You don't know. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition, John. We could invent a thing right at 11:58. That's like, oh, we could just
teleport.
You know, if I just like shove this Sharpie up my nose at the right place in the right time in the right way.
Yeah.
Boom, I'm on Mars. You don't know.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, Hank.
No one's tried that.
It feels like you're playing for time.
Yeah, that's right. Of course I am. Well, it's not even playing for time, because playing for time is like maybe this was the way that we will win. But I don't expect to win. I'm just holding on to what I have for as long as I can.
It's just
because if it's the launch window, then it might as well be now. And now is 2022.
Right. If it's the launch window, then at some point you might say, right, but realistically, when could we get humans to Mars? And the answer is not 2027. So we might as well just start calling it Dear John and Hank today. I actually find that argument more compelling. That we shouldn't call it Dear John and Hank simply because it's this thing that is inevitable. Is inevitable, but it won't become official until January 1st, 2028.
That's right. We're not talking about things. We're not talking about things that will be. We're talking about things that are.
Yes, because
which
if we
maybe
were going
we
to,
should do more of.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. Wow. Wow, you've stumbled into a deep one. Hank with shingles. He's a deep well when he gets shingles.
I mean, I wasn't when it was bad. When it was bad, I was a very shallow well in every way. I could not think straight.
Yeah.
My temper was extremely short. So much of my consciousness was taken up with like trying to not feel the pain or trying to sort of like mentally wall off the pain or just sort of experience the pain on the side of consciousness.
Yeah.
That I like anything that was extra hard, I just gave up. And that was everything from work, where like any extra challenge, I was just like, I'm not handling that. General motivation, but also like temper. Like Oren doing something even a little bit normally I'd be able to handle. I snapped so fast. Chronic pain is so debilitating, and I'm just so happy that it was as short-lived as it was for me.
I think that's really true. We think of our personality as being completely separate from our circumstances somehow, but in fact they're also interdependent.
I want to believe that about myself, you know that. I'm very motivated person, I can work through this. But it's just not true. Like when I was sick with COVID, I could not do good work. When I was experiencing severe shingles pain, I could not do good work.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling much better though.
I'm glad that you're feeling better, but I also really appreciate the empathy that you've long shown for living with pain. It is really hard for people who have to do it.
You've helped me a lot with that.
Thanks. Let's answer this question from listener Eli, who writes, Dear John and Hank, what's up with Ryan Reynolds and his new show about AFC Wrexham? How do you feel about it? Did he betray you? Did he copy off of you? Thanks for the dubious advice, Eli. All right, here's the thing, Eli. Ryan Reynolds stole our idea.
I mean, I think he did. We had him on the podcast, but I didn't. Like, what? Like, it just seems really unlikely to me that more than one guy like us, like American. Well, he's Canadian, isn't he?
Well, first off, like half of all English football teams are owned by Americans. So that it falls apart right there.
I don't know anything. To me, it's the weirdest character trait a person can have. So explain to me, John.
Yeah.
Explain to me how any of this works.
I got an email recently from my mother-in-law who was like, a group of people in Birmingham, Alabama here just bought a fourth-tier English soccer team. Isn't that the league that Wimbledon play in?
What?
And it wasn't Ryan Reynolds. It was other people. So anyway, Ryan Reynolds did call me when they first had this idea, before they decided to do it, before they decided anything else, when the idea was first happening, he called me.
Now I'm 100% on board. I think this is lovely.
And he said, I know that you've had this experience for years with AFC Wimbledon. My friend Rob and I are thinking about buying a football team and making a show about the experience of that first year together. And I was like,
so you can't really be betrayed because like you were pre-trade, if anything.
Yeah. He called me and he was like, do you have any advice? Do you have any thoughts? And I was like, this is such a great idea. It's going to be incredible. I don't really have any advice except that it's going to be awesome. And remember that some people who play for the rival teams or support the rival teams might like you a little less, as I am indeed not the best-selling author in Milton Keynes. But the show that they have made is wonderful. It's so beautiful. It captures everything I love about soccer, and you don't have to care about football to love the show, because it really captures how, of all the unimportant things, football is the most important, how it brings communities together. All that stuff that we love about Wimbledon is true for Wrexham as well. And the show is amazing. Not only is the show amazing, but I'm in it. I'm in this week's episode, Hank. I do a little crash course on the history of Wales.
It's so great.
And Complexly got paid for that. So no, we definitely did not get stolen from. In fact, if anything, we did the stealing.
It's it was a collaborative effort and everyone provided value and received value. And that's the way that things should work.
So the show is great. Watch me in it. I'm so excited that my debut in some ways as an actor in a proper program, proper television or movie experience, is in a Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds production. It's incredible that I've never appeared in any of the adaptations of the movies of my books, but it's just incredible. I'm thrilled, Hank. I have a face for small screens.
I haven't seen it. Is it out?
No, it comes out on Thursday.
Amazing. Okay, so well, it'll be out by the time this podcast comes. Okay, it is out.
So that's why I said
that. But just not for me.
Right. So yeah, the show is called Welcome to Wrexham. It's so good. It's so good. I think Ryan Reynolds is the real deal. I just think he's awesome.
He seems like a cool guy. All right, John, this next question comes from Lamp, who asks, Dear Hank and John, I live in an area where there are green anoles and brown anoles. These are small lizards, if you don't know about them. When I grew up in Florida, we called them anoles, but now everybody tells me that it's pronounced anoles. Anyway.
Wait, are the regular lizards in Orlando, are those anoles?
They are.
Oh.
The brown ones, usually.
I call them lizards, but I know both the green and the brown lizards. There's sort of two basic genres of Orlando lizard.
That's right, yeah. There's
green and brown.
There's the big old browns and the kind of cute little greens.
Right. And the green ones are a lot faster, and the brown ones look more like dinosaurs.
Yeah. Yeah, they could even have like a crest on the back. They definitely look like they could come get you. And they will sometimes.
No.
So the green anoles, well, they will bite you if you let them.
Yeah, but it's not going
to
hurt.
Okay, continuing. The green anoles love to listen to me sing. Every time I see one, it just stares at me like it's expecting something. And then when I start singing, it closes its cute little eyes like it's listening. And then more of them start gathering like I'm doing a concert. But this only happens with the green ones. The brown ones just run away. But the green ones listen every time. I even had one crawl onto my hand. Due to brown anoles being an invasive species and the green anole population having been dwindling, but for some reason, they crowd around me like friggin' paparazzi. And it's only me, too. Every time a friend or someone else comes by, the lizards run away. Of course, I love the lizards, and I always am kind and respectful to the green and brown anoles, but why do they love me singing so much? You know what, Lamp? I don't care why they love it, but I do want to do science on you. To find out, but more than that, I want to explore what kind of superhero you are and how you can use your powers for good.
Yeah. Like, it's like the Pied Piper leading the children's crusade whatever.
There is a whole thing. What did the Pied Piper do? I don't know. Did he have rats?
I think he had children. I don't remember.
What followed the Pied Piper, Google? Children. It's children. Yeah,
it's definitely children. Before you get to your scientific analysis of this phenomenon, I also want to point out that Lamp offered us an illustration of the giant Clodagh and Mary Janet, and it's pretty
I didn't notice that.
It's pretty
epic. It was like below the page break because it's big. Oh, yeah. Yes. Nice.
The giant Clodhoor is kind of looking up at Mary Janet, who is seated atop the giant Clodhoor. And it's really good. We're going to post it on the Patreon at patreon.com/DearHankandJohn.
Mary Janet in this image is looking really like, what would you say? A little bit drowsy, but also just like, I float around on a cloud. It's my boyfriend. It's no big deal.
Yeah, I would describe this Mary Janet as Jessica Rabbit's seen it all. That's a niche joke, but it was perfect for Hank.
This is a great, this is an amazing question. And the fact that it came with an illustration is really quite remarkable.
Hank.
Yes.
Do lizards like music or do we not know?
I have no idea. We weren't able to do any research on this in a scientific way.
And it turns out that you have absolutely no scientific answer.
I have a scientific answer, John. And that scientific answer is we don't know many things about our universe, especially the living things in it. And the only way that we find those things out is people notice stuff and then they test it. So, Lamp, you need to do some science, like to try and remove your bias from the situation. Maybe blindfold yourself, have someone lead you to a lizard, do this in all kinds of different ways, do a recording of your singing and have it happen without you, have someone who's a better singer and a worse singer than you sing different songs, etc. You need to figure out, like, if there is a repeatable effect here. Also, you could try it on different green anole populations. Go try and find some other ones. You could reach out to some anolologists, which is the actual name for people who study anoles, and be like, hey, I've noticed this. Can you, just for funsies, what would you suggest I do to learn more about them, etc.?
I love that.
There are also lots of other species of anoles that you could try this on. They're just not in Florida.
I love the idea of Lamp devoting themselves to trying to understand this phenomenon. And it eventually ends with the global human realization that the little green lizards in Orlando have been making music all this time, just at a frequency we can't hear.
Yeah.
All right, this next question comes from Sage, who writes, Dear John and Hank, recently I had a concussion and I've been re-listening to the whole podcast. Sorry that we're not better, Sage. I feel bad. I can't remember which episode it was because I'm concussed, but at some point you discussed how the human body is basically just a big tube circulating the digestive tract. Oh, that was in all the episodes,
that's
Sage.
That's many of them.
We're just tubes that have flesh and limbs. Anyway, this got me thinking, is the stomach acid inside of our bodies or is it outside of our bodies because it's inside the tube? My brain hurts, so my advice won't be very... Sage. It's a pretty good pun given the situation, Sage. Hank, of course, the concept of inside and outside of the body is a linguistic construct, not a real thing. But I think stomach acid is outside of the body.
I mean, so in the same way that you sweat onto the outside of your body, you excrete stomach acid onto the outside of your body. If we're going through the Dear Hank and John definition of outside, which means that everything... Right. From the mouth to the anus is just a tube of outside that runs through the inside, which I don't see. I don't see where else you draw the line.
Don't see an argument against it.
Exactly. So you're basically sweating out acid. And actually what that leads me to realize, which I've never thought about before, is that there's no reason that you couldn't excrete acid from any other part of your body. There's
That's
a biological like a, reason. Like if it's possible in one group of cells, it's possible... anywhere else.
Sounds like a terrible superpower. What's your superpower? Yeah. Oh, I can melt my own skin. It's kind of a bummer, actually.
The acid sweat-or? Yeah. It's not great to be the acid sweat-or, the giant Clodhoor's sidekick. Yeah, he doesn't do a lot of good for the world, but I do like him.
Acid Sweater's main responsibility in life is to never sweat.
Yes, the giant Clodhoor just keeps him cool. Anything also has to keep him like relaxed too. He can't get nervous.
Yeah, it's typical sidekick stuff where the sidekick contributes absolutely nothing except for a new problem for the superhero to solve.
That's right.
Oh, God, it is hard being the superhero with a younger brother sidekick, but I do manage.
I do suddenly have a lot of problems to solve. We'll say that.
I think the other nice thing about thinking about the inside of the tube being the outside of the body is that then I don't actually eat food so much as I have food run through me and I have my body kind of take what it needs, and the rest of it actually never enters me. It only enters the tube, which is not me.
Yeah. I mean, that does make a lot of sense, that there's never, like, poop in your body.
Not unless you have a level one emergency.
Yeah, agreed. Hooray! This next one comes from Alyssa, who asks, Dear Hank and John, when bats poop while hanging upside down, does the poop hit them in, like, the face first or something?
Great
a group of 30-year-olds are wondering this while also discussing the best Tupperware on a Saturday night. But we need to know. Bat poop and Pyrex, Alyssa. First of all, Alyssa, can you email us and let me know what the best Tupperware is? Because I'm not satisfied. I'm satisfied with the Pyrex I have, but the lids last a maximum of a year. And then I got to buy a bunch of new lids.
Yeah.
Or I don't. And they're just like cracked and letting air in, which is not what they're supposed to do. Why can't a Pyrex thing have a lid that lasts more than a year? It's Pyrex. The glass will last forever. That's all. Alyssa, let me know what you think. John, tell me about bat poop.
Well, I don't know anything about bat poop.
Tell me about Tupperware then, John.
I don't know. So I don't know the answer to this question, but the moment it was asked, I was like, I know that bats poop while they're asleep, or at least while they're hanging upside down, because I've seen a lot of bat poop and then like looked up and seen a bat. I know that's more of a correlation than a causation thing, but it's a strong correlation.
Strong correlation.
And it never occurred to me if the head is below the butt, the poop must hit the head.
Yeah. Do you know what bat poop looks like?
I do. I've seen it a gajillion times.
What's the look? Why have you seen so much bat poop?
Well, Hank, I own a lot of 145-year-old structures.
Oh, right. You have those like barn.
I have an uncommon number of 145-year-old structures compared to most people.
Tell me about bat poop, John.
It's a little and it's hard. And there's a lot of little hard pooplets.
Yeah.
So they
poop out little rice grain pooplets.
I would say for the record, they're big rice pooplets. They're not little, but they're little compared to human pooplets for sure.
Yeah. So bat poop is hard and dry, and if it does hit them on the way down, it doesn't do them any damage. Now, this would be a problem with pee, but they pee while they're flying, which is... I don't know if they like do it right as they're leaving or if they do it like whenever, but my guess would be like, you've been holding it all night. The moment you're like not upside down anymore, like worried about peeing on your own face, you just pee on the way out of your cave.
Yeah. Or it could be that like, as you get older, you do have to pee while you're sleeping. So you just kind of like get up, fly around for a minute to pee and then lie back down. You know,
has anybody ever done research on whether other animals have this, like, as they get older, they have to pee in the night more? Or is that a human thing?
At any rate, we're going to learn at the end of the podcast that people do research on things that you would not ever imagine that people do research on. The poop question is answered. Bats do poop on their own faces. It's just not a problem.
The Tupperware question is not answered, Alyssa. I want you to let us know what conclusion you came to.
Having said it's not a problem, and I don't want to overanalyze this, I am now imagining myself as a bat. And I think that it would be a problem. It wouldn't be a problem for me on the scale of peeing, obviously. Because I understand they're very hard, they're very small.
It's not sticking into anything.
It would still be a problem to have like over the course
problem?
of my sleep period a certain number of poop pellets from my own body roll past my own face.
You know, and I don't know if they actually hit. I just, like, I don't know. If you're a bat biologist, I don't think that the people have paid much attention to this.
Now, are you imagining that they, like, shoot out their poops, like red, green into the Nintendo, that they, like, fire them?
What I'm imagining is the worst case scenario, where the poop comes out, and on the way, it hits several times, and then, like, the last hit is straight on the nose, you know? And I think, aren't their
heads kind of the smallest parts of their body? So actually, true. I think it would like roll across their stomachs or their wings and then not hit their heads. I think for it to hit their heads.
But I'm imagining the worst case scenario because I want to make the case that it's not that bad. Because
I think it is. I think the worst case scenario would be, Hank, if I told you like, hey, so you're going to have a nice, long, happy life. The only thing is that you're going to sleep upside down and all night long, you're going to poop on your own face. But don't worry.
You're going to poop on your own face.
It's really hard and it won't stick. I think you'd be like, I don't love it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'll make two cases. First, you're going to agree with one and not the other. The first is that in this situation, I'm a bat. And bats are different. And if it's not a harm to them, like it's not going to impede their reproductive success, there's not like they will learn to not mind it because it won't like just like we learn to not mind all kinds of things that might objectively be a little bit gross. Second, you'll disagree with this one. If you took some of those bat poops and threw them at me and hit me in the head, I would be like, ah, John, I would not be that upset.
I mean, that is like me as a human. I can't even respond to it. I can't even indulge that. That is such a fringe opinion. You know, that's like if you said JFK Jr. is alive and well. That's how fringe your take just now was.
No.
I don't mind getting pelted in the face
like
with
it.
Bat poop is a fringe opinion, Hank. That is a hard, like that's one of those opinions. Like if I'm at a cocktail party, Hank, and somebody tells me they don't mind being pelted in the face by bat pooplets, it's a pretty good chance the next thing they're going to say to me is something along the lines of, and as you know, Hillary Clinton is a reptilian.
Well, look, I'm not gonna volunteer that. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be
the way you said well made me think that you were gonna say, well, there's a lot we don't know about Hillary Clinton. I really did. I thought you were gonna be like, I don't know. I've never personally tugged on her face. I don't know if a lizard would appear. Anyway, all of that reminds me that today's podcast is brought to you by Hank's Fringe Opinions. Hank's Fringe Opinions, he genuinely thinks that a lot of you out there are going to hear the sentence, I wouldn't mind being pelted in the face by bat pooplets, and just be like, oh yeah, no, that's a good take.
This podcast is also brought to you by the bat pooplets themselves. Larger than a grain of rice, but not like by a lot, and dry. Don't worry.
Yeah. Wham. And of course, today's podcast is brought to you by the bats that poop out the bat pooplets that Hank Green doesn't mind getting pelted in the face with. The bats that poop out the bat pooplets that Hank Green doesn't mind getting pelted in the face with. They transcend all of this. they're above it, literally and figuratively.
This podcast is brought to you by me covered in bat poop. Just head to toe, swimming in it like I'm Scrooge McDuck. I got a vault full of it. I love it. I'm in love with bat pooplets. That's what I said.
Oh, they call him the Guano King of Montana.
Bring your bat poop to me. I will turn it to gold.
Hank doesn't want to sell it. Oh no, he doesn't want to sell that guano.
It provides value to me.
He's got these. Yeah. He does stuff with it. You don't need to know about what.
No, we have snowball fights.
Oh, jeez. Oh, Godspeed. Oh, God bless you. We also have a Project for Awesome message from Brandon and the Good Newspaper crew. We want to say thank you to Hank, John, and all of Nerdfighteria. In a world of cynicism, we're incredibly inspired by this community maintaining a meaningful sense of radical hopefulness while also acknowledging the heartbreak, pain, and injustice of the world. People who are able to do both are the people best equipped to make a positive difference. Grateful to be in this community. So thank you, Brandon, and the whole Good Newspaper crew. That's lovely to hear, especially after an extended conversation on the topic of bat pooplets.
This episode of Dear Hank and John is brought to you by Thrive Market. T-H-R-I-V-E is how that's spelled. You may or may not be like me. Here's a thing I know about myself. If I put it in my house, I'm going to eat it fast, in no time flat. And so I like to shop in a way that makes sure that the kinds of foods that are in my home are the kinds of food that should be in my body. You know what helps out with that is having a go-to grocery and household essentials thing that I can, that just like pops up on my phone and it's like, hey, do you want to order your monthly thing? And I'm like, yeah. And then I pick the things that I want in my house and I don't pick the things that I don't want in my house. And the moments when I actually have self-control, which is not when I'm standing in front of the pantry. Thrive Market's super great, whether you're looking for organic kid snacks, low sugar alternatives, or gluten-free pantry essentials, which I absolutely am. And those, the pretzel bites with the peanut butter inside of them, that make my wife so happy. She's like, I can finally have peanut butter pretzels again after developing a gluten allergy. It's fantastic. And as a Thrive Market member, you save money on every single grocery order. On average, you can save over 30% each time. They even have a little deals page that changes like every day, and you can go and see it and see like, maybe I want to try out some new fun thing. They got all kinds of brands on their website. They got Amy's, Banza, Burt's Bees. They got Mike's Hot Honey, Oatly, Olipop, Poppy, Salt. When you join Thrive Market, you are also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give. Join in on the savings with Thrive Market today and get 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. Go to thrivemarket.com/dearhank for 30% off your first order, plus a $60 gift. That's Thrive Market, thrivemarket.com/dearhank. And they have told me to say it one final time, even though at this point it seems like a lot. ThriveMarket.com/DearHank.
So we all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but there are two things that you shouldn't compromise on. One is name brand Dr. Pepper. The off-brand stuff just doesn't hit the same. And another is, of course, your health. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines or their family group chat or the crossword puzzles just because they're available right now, or take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between 24 and 72 hours. So go to ZocDoc.com/DearHank and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/DearHank. ZocDoc.com/DearHank.
John, this next question is very important to me.
Yeah.
From Jupiter, who asks, Dear Hank and John, how do LaCroix get their flavor? The only ingredient that isn't water is, quote, naturally essenced.
Yeah.
And I'm confused. It's not even grammatically correct for it to be a verb there. What's happening? Help Jupiter. Jupiter, I'm literally drinking the LaCroix right now, and I'd never noticed this before. And I was like, this can't be true. That doesn't sound legal to me. But it says, only carbonated water, comma, naturally essenced.
Mm-hmm.
That, how did they get away with that?
Well,
that's not an ingredient. It's a verb.
Yeah.
It's a thing that happened.
Well, here is a an actual newspaper story on the topic. For years, LaCroix lovers have been faced with a mystery. What are natural essences?
Well,
A new class action lawsuit filed against the brand's parent company.
Wow.
Claims that LaCroix's all-natural claims are false and that the natural ingredients are actually synthetic. In fact, as the filing states, testing reveals that LaCroix contains a number of artificial ingredients, to which Natural Beverages responded in a statement that it categorically denies all allegations and says all essences contained in LaCroix are certified by our suppliers to be 100% natural. Now, what is an essence? It's a clear, concentrated natural chemical.
Okay.
What does that mean? Nobody really knows.
Yeah, you can get a lot of chemicals. It's a big nature. It's a big nature. It's got a lot of chemicals in it. Clear, I guess that's all. That's the only thing you need somehow for some reason. That it seems like a dubious.
So here's
like
here's
quality to me, and anything can be clear if there's a small enough amount of it. But
so
go on.
Here's the process. Essence is created, this is from a Business Insider story, by heating items such as fruit and vegetable skins and rinds and remnants at high temperatures, which produces vapors. And then those vapors are condensed and sold by the barrel, and they are inserted into LaCroix. So it's basically vaporized lime rinds. And that's it.
I still, regardless of what's happening, I still... take
Hank has
offense.
A grammatical concern.
If it said natural essences,
yeah,
I'd be like, like, but you've naturally essenced the water?
Yes.
No. Because you made that up. That's not a thing that existed before a LaCroix can. So nobody knows what that means.
Right. I don't think they want to say, like, this contains tangerine rinds and other leftovers that we vaporized.
It's natural flavorings is what every other thing says.
Mm. I really am excited about this class action lawsuit. It sounds like it's going to be a barrel of naturally essenced laughs. All right, Hank, we have another question from Matt, and I really want to answer this one because I just went to the Champagne region of France.
Wow.
And so I feel like I'm a newly minted expert in champagne in the way you only can after 3 hours of education. Dear John and Hank, if Miller High Life is the champagne of beers, what is the beer of champagnes, Matt?
I had what might be a beer of champagnes recently. You're going to know more than me. But it was just a Bellini in a bottle. So a Bellini is champagne and like fruit juice and fruit puree. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's very good. It's absolutely delicious. That felt like the lower rung champagne experience. It was like whatever was in there was not the highest quality champagne because it mostly tasted like peaches.
Well, it probably wasn't champagne at all because it probably is
not
sparkling wine
from
the Champagne region of France.
Right. Uh-huh.
But I think that we can all agree that when we talk about champagne, what we mean is sparkling wine. And when we talk about the beer of champagnes, what we mean is André. André is this amazing brand of sparkling wine that takes everything that is great about wine-like grocery store products like Strawberry Hill from Boone's Farm and makes them sparkle. It is not good, but it is available. I mean, you can buy it almost anywhere. Mm. It's easier And so I think that is the beer of champagnes. But then there is a great sparkling wine that I love that costs $10 called Freixenet.
Freixenet?
Yeah. It's spelled like Freixenet.
Okay.
You drank it at my wedding. And
I believe you.
It's great. It's great.
Tell you what, this André is inexpensive.
Oh, yeah. It's like $4.
You know what we ate in college all the time?
What did you eat in college all the time?
We drank Prosecco.
Prosecco is a huge range of wine.
Oh, okay.
God bless him.
I thought that was like another brand.
Yeah, no, just seal him up. Just, you know, put him in a trophy case, cover him in bubble wrap, make sure that the gods protect him forever.
We liked it a lot. It's very tasty. This barefoot bubbly is $2.49. I mean,
there's good Proseccos and there's bad Proseccos. It's like saying, like, I love soda.
Right,
and
which
not
I do.
Getting down to Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. There's a bottle of Barefoot Bubbly here, extra dry California champagne American sparkling wine for $2.49.
Oh,
which
yeah,
which seems like
shipping,
less
though.
Than the bottle would cost.
Yeah, I mean, wine can be very inexpensive, but it can also be not very good. I like inexpensive wines, and I don't want to learn enough about wine that I only love expensive wines. That's one of my big goals in life.
We got to stop talking about wine, but I do want to tell you the top review on the Barefoot Bubbly page here. It's
please do.
A four-star review. It says, as expected. I love you.
Which is so much of what we want out of life, you know?
Yes.
Like, if I could give one review to every McDonald's hamburger I've ever had, it would be as expected.
Which is an achievement.
Yeah, for sure. It is not easy.
What a remarkable achievement.
To deliver the product as expected over and over and over again.
Yeah. Dang.
All right, Hank, before we get to the all-important news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon, I want to let you know about a couple things. First off, Mark wrote us to say, Dear John and Hank, I come to you today not with a question, but instead with a fun fact. During a recent episode, you discussed the idea of how Superman should be a cloud instead of an attractive man since he's an alien and whatnot. To my knowledge, there is no cloud Superman, but there is a sentient solar system Superman called Superstar who patrols the Milky Way galaxy. He is mentioned in a single issue of a comic from Mark. And then he includes this mention, and that is really extraordinary. I love the idea of a sentient star system patrolling the Milky Way galaxy. Magnificent.
I love the idea that
too bad
that's like the most important scientific discovery of all time. And it's like two frames of one comic. And then they're like, moving on.
But we've got Earth problems. The other thing,
four super, like eight Supermen in this picture. Why are there so many Supermen?
I don't know. Couple other things I want to bring your attention to. First off, 50,000 different speech therapists and linguists wrote in to let us know that there is a letter that means the TH sound.
Yes.
One was Anne, who writes, I'm sure I'm one of the speech language pathologists who wrote to tell you this, but there are letters for the TH sound. In fact, there are different letters for when it is voiced differently, which I thought was wonderful. So it turns out that the name Nathan, if written in the right alphabet, is a palindrome.
Palindrome.
Massive relief to Nathan's everywhere. Finally, Sarah wrote in to say that she is a PhD student studying psychology and philosophy, and some of her research is about how pot lids become symbols.
Oh, like this was a thing that happened
or
in the past? Or
pot lids are symbols, and when pot lids are symbols. Sarah writes, the answer in my analysis is no, pot lids are not symbols if, say, John were to use his pot lids once as symbols. But if John and Sarah and Alice and Henry all started using some particular pot lids as symbols and collectively agreed that they are usually used for symbols, then the pot lids are symbols because collective recognition of a whole community can change something's purpose and thereby change what it even is. Wow. It's beautiful. So much fascinating research happening, Hank.
So this isn't like about whether or not pot lids became symbols historically, but about how we come to define things as the things that they are when they transition from being one thing to another thing.
Yes.
Wow.
So pot lids can be used as symbols, but pot lids can only become symbols if over time we collectively declare them to be primarily symbols.
The Dear Angus John inbox is one of the best places in the universe.
It really is. I mean, it is an endless fount of fascinating information, almost none of which we share with the public. because we're not very good at our jobs. But we do share news from AFC Wimbledon. Now, Hank, yes. I don't know if you heard this in the news, but the Queen of England died.
Yes.
And this led to the postponement of AFC Wimbledon's game versus Leighton Orient. Probably a blessing for AFC Wimbledon, as we've been losing game after game after game, and an extra day of rest and preparation probably ain't going to hurt us none. But that's the update from AFC Wimbledon. All the football was canceled, and among the football was AFC Wimbledon's game versus Leighton Orient.
You know, I kind of felt like, and don't take this the wrong way, going down a league would mean that you would be like one of the best teams in the league.
I also kind of thought that, yes. I think a lot of Wimbledon fans kind of thought that. But instead, we are enjoying weeks off.
I'm sorry. I'd like to see you win some more games.
You and I are on the same page. What's the news from Mars?
Well, on board the Perseverance rover is a lunchbox-sized device. It's called the Mars Oxygen In-Situ Resource Utilization Experiment, better known as MOXIE. And researchers have been testing out MOXIE's ability to produce oxygen by trying out 7 experimental runs by the end of 2021 under different weather conditions and different times of day to see whether they are able to make oxygen. The device works by just taking air from Mars, running it through a filter to clear out contaminants, and then MOXIE pressurizes the air and heats it up to 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit to break the CO2 in the air down into oxygen ions and carbon dioxide. Then that separates the oxygen ions out to combine them into O2, and then it measures the quantity and purity of that product before it then just releases it back into the atmosphere because they don't need it for anything. And they found that MOXIE was able to make around 6 grams of oxygen per hour, which is about the same as a small tree can do on Earth. And that is great for the future of Mars missions to for people, because it will help astronauts breathe stuff and help missions.
Wait, how many grams of oxygen per hour do I need?
Oh, well, a lot more than 6.
I thought so. Yeah. It feels like that, right? Like, I don't actually know how much 6 grams of oxygen is, but I feel like I need more than that. It seems low.
Yeah. Let me see. I don't actually know.
8.4 kilograms per day per human, according to NASA.
Okay. So 6 grams per hour, not enough. But you can make a bigger MOXIE than the one that we put on the back of the Perseverance rover.
Okay. So I'm just going to tell you, I need the bigger MOXIE. And secondly, I'm not sure, and I know that we've been here before, but this planet doesn't seem great for us.
Look, it's not about it. We definitely don't put it in your head that we go to Mars for a better life. That's not
right.
We're not doing Earth 2 here. We do not go to Mars for a better life.
We go to Mars, not a backup Earth. Yeah. To understand it, that is the critical thing. It's not a backup Earth. We are going to Mars to understand the universe and our place in it better. There is no backup Earth.
No. And to the extent that people talk about backup Earths, I think they're talking on the scale of tens of thousands of years, which I'm not comfortable talking on.
Yeah.
But interestingly, MOXIE isn't just so that we'll have stuff to breathe. It will also potentially be part of how we fuel the missions that return the astronauts to Earth, so we don't have to bring all of the oxidizer with us, because that stuff's very heavy.
Mm, that's kind of cool.
So you need that. You don't want to bring all the oxygen with you. If you can make it on Mars, you got to make it on Mars, which it looks like we can definitely do. Look at us.
So I guess the concept then is that in 2024, we're going to send a lot of MOXIEs to Mars in an unmanned mission. And then in 2026, those humans are going to follow up those MOXIEs. It's all right around the corner, Hank. It's all about to happen or not.
Or maybe some grand revolution in physics will just let us teleport straight there.
Oh, I do love a grand revolution in physics.
It doesn't really happen, for clarity. We've had like one.
I think you mean it hasn't happened yet.
There it is. There it is.
Well, Hank, thank you for podding with me. Thanks for overcoming the discomfort of shingles to make the pod, and I hope you feel better soon.
Thank you, John. It helps to have something to do. This podcast is edited by Joseph Tunemetis. It's produced by Rosianna Hulse-Rojas. Our communications coordinator is Brooke Shotwell. Our editorial assistant is Debuki Trogravardi. The music you're hearing now and at the beginning of the podcast is by the great Gunnarola. And as they say in our hometown,
don't forget to be awesome.